Back to this afternoon, and as I say, with the time at 2 o'clock, it's time for this week's Early Music Show, presented by Lucy Skeeping.
Welcome to the show and a concert from the Manchester International Festival. All this week, the BBC are recording performances given here in the Pavilion Theatre in Albert Square, or Festival Square, as it's been renamed, in the heart of the city centre. It's quite an atmosphere now the sun's come out. I even managed to buy myself a fennel ice cream earlier on, which was definitely out of the ordinary. And I guess the concert we're going to hear is a bit out of the ordinary too. It's given by His Majesty's Sackbuts and Cornets, a group of virtuoso wind players who specialise in Renaissance and Baroque music. Today's programme evokes the great variety of music that can be heard on the Grand Tour, the journey of cultural discovery through continental Europe that was considered an essential part of the education of any English gentleman. Traditionally, the final stop was Venice, the renowned pleasure capital, where perhaps having sampled some of the more earthy delights on offer, our grand tourist could pop into the Basilica of St. Mark's for something a bit more uplifting and listen to some wonderful music before hitting the town again. But we begin our tour today in England, and with four composers whose lives were all affected in one way or another by the ongoing religious and political upheavals of the period. Thomas Tomkins was organist at Worcester Cathedral when the Civil War broke out, and he wrote the organ piece A Sad Pavan for These Distracted Times as a sort of memorial to the recently executed Charles I. Then comes Pavan and Galliard Dolorosa by Peter Phillips, written as he languished in prison awaiting trial on suspicion of espionage against Elizabeth I. He got off in the end, by the way, but only just. And to end the sequence, a piece by the Catholic recusant John Wilby. Now, his great specialism was a madrigals, and we're going to hear an instrumental arrangement of one of them, Sweet Love, If Thou Wilt Gain a Monarch's Glory. But first, arguably the most famous composition for this kind of wind consort, Matthew Locke's Suite for His Majesty's Sackbuts and Cornets, thought to have been written for the coronation of Charles II in 1660.
Thank you.
His Majesty's Sackbuts and Cornets with Oliver John Riven on the organ, with music from late 16th and early 17th century England, an arrangement of a madrigal by John Wilby, Pavan and Galliard Dolorosa by Peter Phillips, Thomas Tomkins' sad Pavan for these distracted times, and to start the set, we heard the suite for His Majesty's Sackbuts and Cornets by Matthew Locke, the opening sequence from this concert given here at the Pavilion Theatre in Manchester, part of the city's International Festival. Now, our next stop is Germany, where composers were profoundly influenced by the exciting musical developments in Venice at the time, many of them having studied there with masters such as Monteverdi and Gabrielli. But first of all, before we hear the music, I'm joined by two of the group's cornet players, Jeremy West and Jamie Savan. They're going to chat a little bit about the ensemble and what to listen out for in this next set. Jeremy, these instruments have a really distinctive sound. Tell us a little about the sort of places that a wind ensemble like this would have performed in its heyday.
Well, in an ideal world, and mostly I think the world was pretty ideal as regards buildings, the best really were the great cathedrals and churches. So rather in contrast to where we find ourselves today, which is in a marquee in the middle of a square in Manchester, very fine it is, and all the stars appear to have come out in the ceiling, with very little, or I could even say, at the risk of being rude, no acoustic reverberance whatsoever.
It's all right, so, we'll take it on the chin.
So if you're listening at home and you can hear a sort of cathedral in the background, that's the BBC's very own portable effect, which is wonderful and can do us a lot of good. Most of the music that we're playing today would have been heard in the churches. So, for example, you mentioned Venice earlier, and of course in St. Mark's these instruments were played to the highest standard as far as we are aware, with its seven domes creating a tremendous reverberation.
Well, we're going to get on and talk about Italy later on when we play some Italian music, but let's talk about the instruments themselves for a moment. Jamie, obviously the sackbut is related to the trombone. It certainly looks like one, although smaller and lighter than its modern counterpart.
That's right. In fact, it's the same length as a modern trombone. It came into being at the end of the 15th century, and trombonists are very fond of saying that it was born perfect, because, as you can see, that the instruments look very, very much like the modern counterpart. The difference, though, is that the bore is quite a lot narrower, and the bell is also smaller. And that means that the sound of the instrument is softer, it's more velvety, but also it gives it greater articulation, which means that it's able to imitate the sound of the human voice more closely. And that's really what these instruments are all about doing at this time.
What about the cornet? I mean, Jeremy, it's quite a basic instrument, isn't it? There's no kind of metal apparatus, keys up and down to help you cover the holes.
It is a basic instrument in some ways, and it isn't in others. The inside of the instrument is deceptively complex. But essentially, it's a wooden conical tube, the wooden body of the instrument being made in two halves and glued together and then covered in leather to help the animal glues that they had available at the time to keep intact, with six finger holes and a thumb hole. And it's played, blown on a mouthpiece, very, very similarly to the way you blow a trumpet today, but fingered with those six finger holes and a thumb hole, rather like a flute. So it's a hybrid between the two, and it was the most favoured instrument of its time on account of the fact that it could imitate the human voice, they said, more than any other instrument.
Jamie, what about the style of playing? Because I was really struck just now in that set to hear the piece by Peter Phillips. It was so florid, full of decoration. I mean, is that kind of thing written out, or is that something you're improvising yourself and hopefully it's in the style of the old days?
Okay, well, in that particular instance, I mean, it's so complex, there are ornaments, diminutions, we call them, in every part. It's very complex. That's not the version that Peter Phillips himself originally wrote. His original version is quite straightforward. It's a five-part consort version. But this arrangement is one that I made based on very elaborate ornamentation that we find in a keyboard arrangement in the Fitzwilliam Virginal book. So we've borrowed those ornaments and we share them out among the five, and in fact six, wind instruments in this particular version. But we know that the cornetists and the trombonists of the time were expert improvisers, and there are treatises and voluminous texts which are all about learning that art of improvised ornamentation.
Well, in this next set now, we're going to hear some of the kind of music that was played in by the town bands in Germany, very often from the top of a tower and out in the open. Can you talk us through one or two of the three pieces we're going to hear and tell us a little about what we should listen for?
The two instrumental pieces here that we're going to play are actually written as a, more or less a set of variations on folk tunes that were very popular at the time. So the first one, by Johann Vierdank, Als ich einmal Lust bekam, that was a popular tune at the time. And the other one that we finished this set with by Samuel Scheidt is the Super Cantionem Gallicam. And in between those two, we have a beautiful organ piece by Matthias Weckmann.
Let's welcome the group back to the stage now and hear this set of German pieces.
Thank you.
His Majesty's sackbuts and cornets performing here in the Pavilion Theatre in Manchester's Albert Square with three pieces from 17th century Germany, part of this concert which traces a 17th century grand tour. We heard a five-part canzon by court composer Samuel Scheidt, a sonata by Johann Vierdank, and in between, Matthias Veckmann's Toccata in D minor for organ. Well, for the final stage of our imagined Euro journey, we are going to move south to Italy. And I'm joined once more by two of the band's cornet players, Jamie Savan and Jeremy West. Jeremy, Venice, with all its colour and excitement, was certainly a must-see destination for any traveller, as it is today. One tourist, a man called Thomas Corriott, writing in 1608, called it the fairest place. And he was obviously totally blown away by the first sight of the piazza, describing how it ravished his senses. And of course, there was lots and lots of wonderful music everywhere. Describe the musical scene in Venice, if you can.
I mean, if he were to have set, as he certainly, and we know he did, set foot then from the piazza into San Marco, the ducal chapel, as it is in effect, seven domes, absolutely magnificent building. The sound of the cornet at this time was described by one observer as being like a ray of sunshine piercing the shadows in the great cathedrals. And he would have set foot in there and heard sounds to that effect. Jamie, I'm sure you agree.
Certainly. I mean, we know that St. Mark's employed two of the finest cornetists who ever lived, Girolamo Dalla Casa and Giovanni Bassano. These were the two wind players who played in the instrumental ensemble that was directed by Giovanni Gabrielli.
And I was going to mention Gabrielli, of course, because he's sort of the focal point in this final set. He's such a major figure. He was the organist, wasn't he, at St. Mark's? But, of course, he wasn't just a keyboard man.
That's right. I mean, his official job actually was second organist of the cathedral, so he wasn't even first organist, and neither was he the maestro di cappella. But despite that slightly lowly-sounding job title, he wrote the most extraordinary music, both in quality and quantity and diversity, I would say.
So we're going to hear some pieces by him, and we're also actually going to hear one piece by someone I know very little about, Giuseppe Guarmi. Who's he? He's from Lucca, that's all
Guarmi,
I know.
Guarmi, Giuseppe Guarmi da Lucca. Well, he was a slightly older contemporary of Giovanni Gabrielli, followed a similar kind of career path, which was also following a path trodden by Giovanni Gabrielli's uncle, Andrea Gabrielli. So all three of these musicians went to study with Lassus in Munich. Learned their compositional craft from him, and then they came back to practice it, to ply that trade that they'd perfected back in Italy. They were colleagues for a while in the Basilica of San Marco. In fact, Guarmi was the first organist, Giovanni Gabrielli was the second, for a short time. Then Guarmi ended up back in Lucca. But he wrote the most fantastic instrumental music, also beautiful vocal music. We're going to perform a five-part chromatic motet instrumentally, but a really exquisite piece by this little-known composer.
Well, that's wonderful. We're going to get a real feel of St. Mark's in a moment. Well, thanks again, Jeremy West and Jamie Savan. We're going to start with a canzon by Gabrielli. So while you go and get yourself ready to play, let's hear a little something again from our friend, the traveller Thomas Corriott, his impression on hearing a piece by Gabrielli. This is what he said. "It is the best music that I ever did hear in all my life. I was for a time wrapped up with St. Paul into the third heaven." And I trust all of you out there will be similarly impressed.
Thank you.
music from 17th century Venice by Giovanni Gabrielli and by his colleague at St. Mark's, Josefo Guami. Performed here in Manchester's Pavilion Theatre by His Majesty's Sackbuts and Cornets, Jeremy West, Jamie Savan and Helen Roberts were the cornet players, and on Sackbuts, Abigail Newman, Stephanie Dyer and James Wigfull, and the organist was Oliver John Riven.
And the early music show, which was recorded at Manchester's International Festival, was presented by Lucy Skeeping. The producer was Paul Frankel. Well, on next week's programme, Lucy presents highlights of the concert the harpsichordist Andrea Steyer gave at the National Centre for Early Music as part of the 2015 York Early Music Festival.